On Wednesday night, Pastor Jim mentioned a verse that I had been thinking about all week, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit, and it's been on my heart, and it's in 2 Corinthians. So if you could please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I read that, you know, the Lord Almighty, and I think of that wonderful song, is the great I Am. I just get goosebumps from thinking about it. We live in a time when connectedness is the rule of the day, being connected. We're connected on our phones. We're connected through the internet. And it's good to be connected. It's good to have connections with our family and friends and those we care about and those who love us and those who we need. But there's a bad side to being connected. You hear a lot of these common buzzwords, tolerance, openness, acceptance, inclusive. And these are terms about being together, but not in a spiritual sense. And there's a push today to bring everyone together under one umbrella, one world, one bank, one church, one everything, so that we're all one. It's the path of the world, but it can't be the path of the church unless we're all one under Christ. We have to remember that God did not call us to be inclusive, but exclusive. We have to be separate. But why? We have to be different than the world around us. Not just because we're a good person, or we have good morals, or we're just, you know, taught from a young age that this is the right thing to do, but it has to be because of Christ. And in the church of Corinth, being separate was lacking. They allowed the external to influence them. They allowed the world to seep in little by little until, as a church, they became just like the world, and no one could tell the difference. And this is what Paul is writing to the Corinthians about. Of all the churches in the New Testament, the Corinthians were undoubtedly the most worldly. In Philippi, for the Philippians, you have the church that was known for its compassion. In Ephesus, they were known for their commitment. And unfortunately for the Corinthians, they were known for their carnality. They're in a very wicked city, a very wicked area, and they allow the false teachers to influence them. In fact, the Corinthians were so vile and was such a bad city that to be called a Corinthian means that you were the worst of the worst. You were a person of very low moral standards. That guy's such a Corinthian. Gosh. And so, I mean, if you think they had allowed that society to penetrate them in the ways they taught and the things that were adding to the word, and Paul is writing and saying, these things cannot be this way. And these verses here tell us how we can remain separate, not just to be separate, but to remain separate in a connected world where everybody wants to be one, but one under the wrong teaching. And God still expects his people to be different. We have to stand apart. So you see here in these verses, we're marked by several contrasts. And Paul uses different verbs to prove his argument. And you'll see here, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? So fellowship, we see here. And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement? You see these words? They're all used to be coming together. There's something that's held in common, something shared. And his basic argument here is that Jesus and his followers have nothing in common with the evil world, the unbelievers. And he points out in three areas where we have our lives that need to have contrast. And he's writing to the church, and he's writing on how a church should operate. But as you read these verses, think about how you want this applied as an individual, as a believer. And you can take what he's teaching here about separating yourself and how the church needs to separate itself as a whole and also as a believer. We need to have a contrast in our walk. Righteousness. He says, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Righteous means purity of life or of that which is pleasing to God. The idea here is that God's children are to be different from this world as you conduct your life. Different. Not different in a weird way. Different Christ-like. Turn with me, please, to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians 1, 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, within one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Romans 13, 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision to fulfill its lusts. We're not to put on the world, but we're to put on Jesus in front of the world. Love that. The CEO of Charles Schwab, the brokerage in Frisco, he takes candidates to breakfast when he interviews them. And he goes to the restaurant ahead of time, and he gives them a really big tip and tells the restaurant to mess up the order for the candidate. And he wants to gauge their reaction. He wants to see how they respond to it. He's pretty genius. And he says, I do that because I want to see how the person responds. That will help me understand how they deal with adversity. Are they upset? Are they frustrated? Or are they understanding? Life is like that and business is like that. It's just another way to look inside their heart rather than their head. Now, if the ruthless and cutthroat CEO executives are saying that they're looking at the heart, imagine the ordinary individual. They're looking at how you act. And this is what Paul is saying in Philippians. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. And guess what's going to happen if that guy has a good conduct, if that candidate responds well, he most likely will get the job. We need to have a contrast in our wisdom. Wisdom as a church, wisdom as a believer. Light and dark can have no fellowship. I've seen that in my personal life. Light and dark can have no fellowship. And even the tiniest bit of light can dispel the most extreme darkness. And the main message of 2 Corinthians in this passage is that a life governed by the Word of God has no shared ground with a life governed by the flesh, the devil, the world. They can't blend in. They can't mesh. And we see that too often in churches today where they want to blend in. They want to attract people in, so they want to blend. And it can't happen. It can't happen because there's no shared ground. There's no shared interest. We have to be different because we live our lives according to the Word of God. We have a different standard of living than the world does. John 14, verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Sounds good to me. We need to be aware also of the words of men, false teachers, that add or subtract to the Word of God. You can do it. Live your best life. You have the power. Speak the words. Manifest them. These are not things that are scriptural. We have to avoid the legalism, modernism, and we have to walk in the living light of God. How do we do that? Psalm 119:9. How can a man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. The Corinthians allowed these false teachers to work to influence in the church, and Paul's writing to them now, telling them that this can't be this way. And we also have to have a contrast in our worship. It's not only in the way that we walk daily, but in the way we worship the Lord. We are God's possession. There's no common ground between Jesus and Belial, who, by the way, Belial, we'll read here in verse 15, and what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever. Belial was another word for the devil, Satan, in the Old Testament. They used Belial for describing someone who was worthless, a worthless man, a worthless person. What accord does Christ have with Belial? The idols and the business worship at the time had also influenced the temple of God, and that has no place there. Finances. In 1 Corinthians, when Paul wrote the original letter to the 1 Corinthians, they actually wrote him back, and they said they wanted to clarify a few points, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You know, and he was saying, in regards to these items, they wanted to clarify, when you say marriage, one man, one woman, you sure concubines aren't allowed in there? Are you sure that can you clarify these points? Because they wanted that worldly influence. Let's go there now, actually. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our bodies are not ours. And this is in contrast to the world, who thinks that their body is theirs. And you see this in arguments. My body, my choice. It contradicts Scripture. And just as our physical bodies need cleanliness, even though they don't belong to us, our spiritual bodies need cleanliness as well. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to this world. How much easier can it get? Corinthians didn't see that verse, obviously. So instead of trying to be this seeker-friendly, user-friendly, well, this is how they do it, and this is how this works for them, and we need to be spirit-friendly, scriptural only. We need to create an atmosphere in which the Spirit of God can work, move, and bless. That's the goal. As we do so, He will see to it that people are in and people are saved. We have to put everything on Him. He's the Almighty. Let's go back to our text. The word accord here, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, verse 14, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Excuse me, let's go to 15. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Accord, or some versions say concord, means harmony, to be harmonized. It refers to musicians that would play the same piece of music together at the same time. And how does it sound? It sounds lovely. When you have musicians that play music in two separate keys, at the same time, it doesn't sound good. Just as you have disharmony there, you would have disharmony with followers of Jesus and those who are not. Everything that's evil that contradicts Jesus. And the whole point here in this passage is that we have to be different from those around us because we possess a new nature. And this is key. Jump back with me real quick, one chapter to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. And this is what they were missing in Corinth. They were missing this new nature. Once they say they're a part of the church, I'm a part of the church. I'm good. Let's act like everyone else does. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, which by have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. See that? Escaped the corruption, not joined it. You are now partakers of the divine nature. A pig rolls in the mud because it's a pig. If you changed his nature to a sheep, it would hate the mud and it would want to go to grass. You have new nature. This is what Paul is saying again. Now, as a church and as believers, we are managed by specific commands. And you'll see here, let's go to verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's a command. Now, we usually use this phrase in marriage, but it can pertain to not being yoked together. So you see in the Old Testament, it goes back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy. Chapter 22, verse 10, they plowed the ox and the donkey together, and they put them together, and that it won't work because they have two different natures. The ox was very dirty, and the donkey was not. So if you put them together, they are now unequally yoked because they have two different natures. It's a great metaphor for the church. It's a great metaphor to see the world has one way of living. They have different motives. And the church has another way. And oftentimes as humans, as humanity, we want to blend it. And we want to say, oh, I'm tolerant, I'm understanding, I'm just like you, man. Which is true, we're all sinful. However, we have a new nature now. And unequally yoked is a military term, which means to stay within your own ranks. So you put the ox with the ox, and you put the donkey with the donkey. The believer needs to closely monitor all of his relationships because walking in the world often results in walking like the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, do not be deceived, evil company corrupts good habits. And we see that all too much, all too common. You think you're going to be the influence, and if you're strong and in the Lord, you can be. But if you're not walking like you should, the evil company will corrupt you, and this is what happened with the church in Corinth. Another command, verse 17, we are to be separated. So not only segregated as those who are the ox and the donkey, but separated. And this pertains to practices, whereas the segregation could pertain to people. Now being separated pertains to practices. Just as we are refused to walk with the world, we are also to refuse to walk like the world. Let the world do its own thing. We have to be different. We are called out people. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Direct command from the Lord. This isn't anybody ordinary. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I was having a conversation with my girlfriend recently, and she had a client. She was having lunch with a client, big client too, that brought a lot of money to her business. And he was praising her, talking about how good she is, about how she's always on top of things, and giving her a lot of compliments, which is great. And then he proceeded to talk badly about one of her coworkers and saying, this person doesn't do this, and this person isn't good with this, and this person is. And she immediately stopped him and said, they're not here to defend themselves. He's like, no, but I'm giving you compliments. She's like, yeah, I know, thanks. But they're not here to defend themselves. Don't talk to them about them like that. Which is, you know, against a big client. You know, and do we have that integrity? Do we have guts to say, oh, you know, it's not right. They're not here. This is what I mean by separation. This is what I mean by being different. Some people have read the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9. And this is something I'm still learning about, something that I still haven't mastered completely, but it's always interesting to read, and there are lots of opinions about these verses. 1 Corinthians 9:19, and we'll go to 23. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. little tricky there. I got to read that three times. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Now, when you allow the outside world to influence the church, they'll start to say things like, oh, well, you know, he became all things, so, you know, you can smoke weed with someone and talk to them about God because now you are like them. And they twist the meaning. And Paul's intent here is that he's living his personal life in such a way that he's not offending the Jew, Gentile, or the weak. He becomes like a weak in the way he speaks, in the way he presents the gospel. Not by participating in the same activities and becoming worldly. That is not the meaning of the scripture. He lived a life of self-sacrifice and self-control by controlling and sacrificing who he's speaking with. He's speaking to Jews, so he presents the gospel like the Jews would, like to the Jews to save them, as well as the Gentiles, as well as the weak, those who are maybe not educated, not informed. But he doesn't participate in the actions. That's not what this is saying. Now that we have our instructions to be segregated, to be separated, now we have our wonderful consolations. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Those who walk the separated life of God's promise, those who walk the separated life have God's promise that he will receive them. And what does that mean? I see that a lot. Receive, I will receive you. It means to treat with favor. You will have God's favor. If you will be separated from this world for my glory, then you will enjoy my favor. For my glory, keep in mind. My smile will be upon your life. I don't know about you, but I want God's favor, and I want his smile. I don't want anything else. I want his smile on my life, and that is through his son, by walking in the Spirit, by being like his son daily. It's tough. A clean, separated life is how you get that favor, especially around holidays where you're with unbelievers and family and those who are wanting to give you their worldly influence. And you have to show in separation, not only in action, but in speech. We have the consolation here that he's going to receive us, and we have the consolation of his fatherhood. Verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, all the redeemed, we're all children of God, and he's a father to all of us for saved. However, just because we enjoy that relationship doesn't mean that we enjoy the fellowship. Oftentimes there's a bridge or a rift between us and God because we have that sin that's contaminating our life and we refuse to get rid of it. So even though he's still our father, I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters. He is still a father, but do we have that fellowship with him? When we take care of those things that are blocking our fellowship with the Lord, we have restoration. And that's our consolation. Maybe you have you can remember a time where you were not having fellowship with a family member or a parent when you were. And wasn't it great when that was restored? When you can finally come back in restoration with them and enjoy that fellowship with them. And that's how we are to be with the Lord. We are motivated as well to steadfast convictions. Paul tells us that the promises and the person of God should motivate each of us to seek a closer relationship with him. We need to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And we have a list in Galatians, if you'd like to look later, Galatians 5, 19 to 21, all the sins of the flesh, pride, etc. But what we're doing on the outside is merely a reflection of the inside, right? And this is what Paul's saying to the church in Corinthians. Come out from among them and be separate. come out from among them. That implies they were there. They're there in the church. Come out from among them and be separate. Be different. But be different because of Christ, because of Spirit. Universal church, universal teaching doesn't have Christ. So it's chaos. We need to, as an individual, going back to, you know, he's speaking to the church here, but as individuals and as believers, we need to cleanse what's inside. We need to stop what's prohibiting us from having that relationship with the Lord. Then we can truly act separate, and because we will be separate. Matthew 15. Let's turn to Matthew 15, please. Matthew 15, verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Out of the mouth, the heart speaks. So you'll see it in not only in actions, but we need to be separated in our speech. It's crucial. We have to cleanse ourselves inwardly and outwardly so the favor of the Lord can rest upon us and the church. It's not enough for you to say, Lord, let us be cleansed. You have to be involved actively in the participation. You have to mean it. We're motivated to a consecrated walk. And you have this phrase, perfecting holiness, right? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I think that was chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness has the idea of completing or getting the whole mind of Christ into the soul. Do you desire that? Or do you desire to just be liked by the world, which is what we see in churches, to get as many people as possible so that you can be liked? That is the modern day and age. That is the connectedness of the world, to like someone or like a page or to like. That's what they want, to be liked. And do you have the desire to get your whole mind about Christ only, ceasing to be driven by the flesh, perfecting holiness? It's a daily process. But how is it possible? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. This is how it's possible. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God is faithful. I learned that in the dark times. God is faithful. Another thing, another topic is the fear of God. This is what's missing in the church, in the false churches. The fear of God. They don't have the fear of God. They don't have fear at all. They have motive for other things. We need to have the fear of God. And this is even in our close personal life, in our prayer life. We need to have that fear of God. Refusing to engage in any thought or activity that would bring God's displeasure upon us. Any thought or activity. Gossip. Tough one. Anger. Pride is probably one of the biggest, right? And we have the list that God hates. Are we really expected to remain separate in a connected world? Yes. This is our command from God. This is what he says. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. I saw this quote by Vance Havner. I love this. You're probably familiar. We are not to be isolated, but insulated. moving in the midst among evil, but untouched by it. And I think sometimes believers can get this feeling of oh, well, you know, I'm just, this is my environment. This is where I'm at. This is what I have to go along with. But we're insulated. We're insulated because we have Christ. So God is faithful. Moving in the midst of evil, but untouched by it. Jesus was also, he lived in this world and he lived a holy life. But at the same time, in Luke, he was called a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So he was a friend of tax collectors and sinners, which they noticed, but he was also set apart. And like a skilled physician, we are to practice contact without contamination. We have to be here, and we have to interact with those around us, no matter how it might get under our nerves, under our skin. But we also have to try to reach them. They're lost. But even while we live here in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, we have to shine as lights in the world. Let's turn with me, please, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 15. Well, he starts off verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. The Corinthians, they weren't shining. They were blending. They were meshing, trying to mesh with the world. And what is Paul saying here? That you may become blameless and harmless. Were the Corinthians blameless? Certainly not. In the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. And how easy it is to be influenced. That's why we have to be strong. Maybe you need to come to the Lord today and you need to say, Lord, this is my sin I need to get rid of. I need to rectify this so I can have that right relationship with you. And once I do, I can show that I'm separate from everyone else. Not by being a good person or just being morally strong, but by having Christ. And they can see that. Hey, how come you don't drink? Hey, how come you don't smoke? Hey, how come you don't do this? How come you don't do that? Well, I'll tell you why. It's not because of faith healing and strong words and believing in yourself. It's because of the Lord. Remember that if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. He wants you to make that first step. He wants you to be separate from the rest so that you can win them as Paul did. If you need to come before the Lord and tell him what's in your life that's not causing you to be separate and trying to blend, like the church does, or the false churches do with the world, then come before him and he'll meet you there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our rock. Thank you for being in our life, Lord. Thank you for saving us from the filth that we were in. This time of year where we speak to others about you, where we speak to our families and our friends and our neighbors, give us that boldness and give us that strength to be separate in our actions, in our speech, in our behaviors. Lord, give us that smile, that favor that you have for us, Lord. Eliminate the sin in our life, Lord, that we so stubbornly go back to. Help us to seek you and be an example to those in our lives, believers included. We pray again for Pastor Jim, that you would be with him during the process of these medical, physical issues, Lord, that you would place your healing hand on him. And just heal everything quickly, Lord. We be with him and uplift him. Give him strength. Help us to focus on you this season, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.